Monday the 16th of November, cough test, Mal Cheshvan, Rabbi Mendy Chizik, by Yaak Veinizer, Pa'amoyim.
Roshus, Choshev Tzibot. Every time I come here, this time of morning, I always want to tell you, start off with a vort. This morning, I'd like to share with you a vort from the Tiferes Shvim of Radomsk. Chassidish vort, it will wake you up in the cold, wintry, wet morning. He's a murder of Shatim Potter. To go back to Sefer Bereishis, we know there's an argument between Cain and Hevel, and unfortunately Hevel lost. Cain was angry with Hevel for one reason or another, and some of foolish in the Torah. We find very little remnant to what actually went on between Cain and Hevel. Says the Tiferes Shlomo v'Radomsk, there's a difference in attitude between these two brothers. Everyone has got to go to work. Everyone has to look for Parnassa. But Cain and Hevel went about their daily lives with complete difference. We all know, Chazal tell us, Vayhi is a Loshon Tsar. Chazal also tell us, Vahoyah is a Loshon Simcha. So you have two men going to work. So the Loshon HaPosek as follows. In Perigdal HaPosek Beis. Vayhi Hevel Goyetzoyim. Hevel was working. He was Batsar. He would have liked to be learning. Yes, he went to work. But Vayehi, he worked Vayehi, he had to work. Seder, Panos, he has to. Aber, steht in Teure, Vakayin Ahoyo, Oyved Adomo. Kayin enjoyed the body he was working. He didn't bother any that he wasn't learning. Oy, but those of the Teure, we know what happened at the end. So we come together, before we rush off to a busy day in the office, and we come together, we show the Gebrein Shredam, that we are Vayehi Hevel, the Vayehi Doshan Tzad, we'd like to start off the day with learning. The Baruch Hu could give us the zechusim that Hevel had, and his tefillos were answered. In Ha'etzik Parsha, we find that Esav came to his father Yitzchak, and had goes to Tainus, a big Tainus. He said, after the story where Yaakov entered and took the brochus, he comes to his daddy, he says, I'm not happy with this. He says, Hachi korosh v'Yaakov, v'Yaakvein izeb ha'mayim. He cheated me twice. Es b'chayosi lokoch. He's taken my b'chayla. Ve'hile ato lokach b'chayosi. And now he's taken my brochus. I don't understand. Basics. Esau didn't know why Yaakov had the b'chayla. He felt cheated. He sold it to him. It was a mechira. Mechra chayoyim. Sell it to me as clear as the day. There's a deal over here. You make a deal with someone and you got tainus. Years later, close to 50 years later, he took my b'chayla. Didn't take it. So I want to look at this morning, Bezer Hashem, 2 points. First of all, is one allowed to cheat another in business if one's trying to cheat you? And Satan did Yaakov be'emes cheat Esav. According to Avon, if a person feels he's been cheated by someone else in business, does that give him the right to cheat back, just to get his money back? The other piece is a vote from Chaim Kanievsky. Now, Chaim tells on a kash which has always bothered me, and I saw this year, Niflidikavot. We all know that Klal Yisrael had a plan, a master plan of leaving Mitzrayim. Being in Mitzrayim was not a long-term goal for them. And we're going, Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paroi. His conversation, he said to Paroi, listen, let us out, derech shloshe shomim, for 3 days. We only want to go out for 3 days. But that was the choy of the year. That's not true. That's a blatant untruth. Was there ever any tzad, any possibility, any thought ever of them only going for 3 days? Not as far as I know. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky, does his midah keneged midah? How did Paroi get the Klal Yisrael to work for him? By saying to him, come on, it'd be good for you, we'll work together, we're all in it together, I'm working, you're working, we're working, we'll pay, it'll be good, good conditions. And we all know, unfortunately later, things changed, didn't it? Paroi pulled out of the work, stopped the paying, gave less material, and yet he still demanded the same work that he originally had got Klal Yisrael to produce. So what transpired was probably they'd got clients up to work, let's call it by cheating them. So Reb Chaim made the Kenegi Medo. It's not right just to walk out from the tram just like that. For good, cheating. Let's say they've gone out for 3 days, and then go out forever. So the Chayim of Nikoyach, that what it seems to be mashma, not such a problem. If you were cheated, cheat away. What actually happened with Yaakov Esav? There's one point we'll bring up now, we'll come back to it later. When Esav did return home on the day that the day that Avram was nifta, the Torah tells us Vayozid Yaakov nozid Vayova Esav min asodev huayif. Yaakov was cooking, Esav came home, Esav was tired. Esav said to Yaakov, Haliteino min ha'odoim ha'odoim hazeh. Give me from this odoim ha'odoim. Yaakov made a deal with him. And the Lashon HaPosuk later is, V'yaakov nosan le'esav, and Yaakov gave to Esav, lechem unezid adoshim. Why the lechem? Who's mentioned lechem? Yaakov's cooking adoshim. The deal is a deal over adoshim, over lentil soup. And Yaakov says, yes, we'll do the deal. We'll shake on it. V'yaakov nosan le'esav, lechem unezid adoshim. If you are going to give lechem, by the way, give it secondary. The deal's not on lechem. Why are you giving more than he's asked for? Give him nozit first. Mishma will come back to that. Another pasuk I'd like to share with you. Pasuk in next week's parsha, Vayetzi. The first time Yaakov met Rachel, he said to her, Ki achi ovihohu. He said, I'm a brother of brother of the father. That wasn't actually true. For Yaakov, Yaakov to Rachel, Yaakov said to Rachel in Parash Vayetze, Ki achi ovihohu. He's a brother of her father. But he wasn't. He was her first cousin, and he was a nephew of her father. Says Rashi, Rashi's second shot, Ki achi ovihohu, Umed Roshoi, Im legamo isubo, Gam ani ochid boramos. If he wants to cheat me, two can play the same game. Ochid boramos. I'm not a physical ach, I'm not a biological brother, I'm a brother. If he wants to cheat me, I can cheat him. Ochid boramos. So it's much, we have several sort of different makoigas in these three psukim that it seems to be there's not such a problem with a person cheating his way out. I'll show you the Moed the Kemaisa, which is brought down in a sefer called Tuvchei Abir from Yerushalayim Zilberstein. It sounds almost amazing. If you look at it again and again, the story is still there every time you look at it. He was asked a shayla by a chosn. A chosn, but Yom Chasun Nosoi, on a day of his chasna, went in to a barber in Yerushalayim to have a haircut. Barbers in Yerushalayim are helpful people, and sometimes like to help themselves. This barber was no different. The fellow got down in the chair, and he happened to mention at the beginning of the haircut, vice versa, he said, I'm getting mad in a few hours. He thought he'd share some good news with the barber. And the barber also thought it was good news. He said, ah. He said, for barbers, he said, oh, sorry, for chasanim, he said, it's instead of 25 shekel haircut, it's 50 shekel haircut. He said, oh, that's not fair. I've got no choice now. He started the haircut. If I wouldn't have said I was a chosan, it would cost me 25 shekel. Now he said, I told him I was a chosan, he wants 50 shekel. That's not fair. But he's in the chair. He can't get out. He's got to have a haircut. What's he going to do? As he was having his haircut, his mind wasn't sleeping. And he's thinking, I've got to get myself out of this. Comes the end of the haircut. He said to barber, I've got a problem. I said, what? What's his? He said, my hair's quite strange. It grows very, very quickly. I said, no. And he said, in about an hour from now, it'll already look a little bit shabby. I said, no. A couple of days, give yourself at least, even if it does grow quickly, a couple of days you'll still look neat. I said, not me. Not me. I'm telling you, I know, 1 hour from now, it already won't look quite the same as this. Pop said, listen, I don't really believe you. But, Bahor Baraglo, if you're going to come back to me an hour from now and show me you've got long hair, You know what? I'll give you a free haircut on the house. Okay. Chosa smiled and walked off. He went home and he said to his identical twin brother, in about 3/4 of an hour from now, go along and you've got yourself a free haircut. See, after his chasana, he half regretted his actions. He thought, yes, no, was I right? He cheated me, I'm cheating him. Can I do it? He sent the letter to Abitzel, so much time. And Abitzel goes to a few minor makoimus there, doing a gemara in Yevamos Kuvov, which says you can say to a person, Meshat Ani Boch, which you cheating us, we'll cheat you back. He says at the end, Adayin Tzorich Ian, if you're actually allowed to do this. Just Agav, although it sounds an interesting story, but Emes, there's a Rashi in Parshas Noso, uses a very, almost similar story. There's a Rashi in Parshas Noso, it's good to know, who says there's a Maisa with a lady, was a soita. Yeah. The Maisi Yadua, okay, move on. Maisi Yadua. The Maisi Yadua with a soita, a woman who was suspected of being a soita, and she was nervous about going with her husband to Yerushalayim, because she knew she'd sinned. On the way, she met up with her identical twin sister, and she said, you know, Vaisnavus, we'll swap. I've done nothing wrong. I'll go with your husband, I'll drink, I'm fine. Got to Yerushalayim, the innocent sister drank, nothing happened. On the way back, the sister sort of swapped over again. She kissed her sister, and then air from the maid soita went into her sister died. So Vaisachos, this chosen is not doing anything majorly new. It sort of happened already. But into the shayla, can you, can't you? Sorry? No, Enochon. There's a Gemara in Bob Metziah Tav Chof Dalet. The Bob Metziah Chof Dalet says, Maisa's follows. Mazutra Chasida, Ignivle Kosa de Kaspa. Mazutra Chasida, now bear in mind the word Chasida. Ignivle Kisa de Kaspa Mei Ushpiza. I would translate the Gemara without the Rashi. He had stolen from him, while he was a guest, a kois of kesef. So Rashi, no, that's not what happened. Rashi, no. Keli shel ushpizoy hoyo. It was a keli of his guest that was stolen. Now, Rashi didn't really have to say that. Why did Rashi have to say that? Says to him what happened. Chazya lahu bar beirav. He saw Tamid Chochem. Demoshi yodei, he'd washed his hands. Venogiv, and he dried them beglima de chavre on someone else's clothes. Ah, he said, Mazutra, that's the man. That's the one. He doesn't care. Hainu haide le ichpeste. He doesn't care about someone else's moment. What do they do? Kofse. Now the Shit Mukabetz has two pshotim in Kofse. Either they threaten to excommunicate him, or they physically hit him. Based on the merest of suspicions, I would say. So, first of all, why does Yashi go at length to tell us that Keli Shel Ushpiza was the Keli of his guest? Why? The Maratchias and the Yivetz offer not. Both Mephoshim Kamat say the same thing. They both say that Mazutra Chasida would never have done this, ever, if it would have been his own money. For his own money. To go attacking another Yid, although you're pretty sure it's him, to hit someone else for that, when you've got such a small suspicion that because he doesn't care, I'm a Moyne de Chavri, if you hit him, he wouldn't have done it. He would never have done it. So the Maatschis and Yavitz both learn that Rashi was forced to say that. More than that, the Sefer Ben Yoyada, often not, brings down a very interesting story. The Ben Yoyada from the Ben Ishchai brings down a nice story to explain Rashi. He says, Maisa, the days of the Shlo, when the Shlo had stolen from him a silver spoon. And naturally, the suspicion in Yeshiva fell upon a certain Bocha. And the Bocha was accused. And the Bocha later admitted it, he had stolen the silver spoon. But, Shteitin Ben Yoda, Meiroi Busho, means great embarrassment, the Bocha left the yeshiva, he left the Derech HaTorah, and he went and moved out. Yisro HaKadosh knew that his Talmud had stopped keeping the Torah. That part he knew, but he didn't know where it gone. He had no idea where it gone to. No idea. Cut off ties from him, they had no idea, the Shlomo had no idea where his Talmud went. Years later, says the Ben Yoyada, the Shlomo wanted to travel to Yisroel to spend his final years there. And his Talmud was in charge of the port at Jaffa, at Yafo. The port of Yafo is where this Talmud was in charge of the tax. That's where he did his business, and the Shlomo came in on a boat to Yafo. The Talmud recognized his Rebbe, and Rebbe didn't recognize Talmud. Talmud, being a very important man in that part of the area, called in the Shlomo and said, Rabbi, he said, you're a very important person. So am I. I'd like to invite you to my house. Shlomo didn't know who the stranger was. He didn't feel comfortable. He took one of his kapoim with him. Okay. He accompanied him. He wasn't sure where this was going. He gets into this home of this wealthy tax collector. The man says to him, Rabbi, I want to speak to you privately for a moment. Can you send out this fellow accompanying you? This, I don't want him in the room. Shlomo felt even more uncomfortable. Sent him out. The Talmud then took rope, tied up the Shlomo. You can check it out. It's stated in Ben Yehoyada on this Gemara. Tied him up and said, Rabbi, I'm going to kill you now. Say your final prayers. Shlomo said, who are you? What have I done to you? I don't know you. You invite me to your house. You try to honor me. You send my gabba out. Try to honor me. What have I done to you? He said, Rabbi, we're not talking now. No time for discussions. It's the end. Shlomo didn't know how to put himself. He saw talking to him was of no use. He said, Shema, Bokal Gogol, said, Vidui, he's ready to depart Olam Hazeh. At that moment, he felt the Talmud, he felt this tax collector stand him up and kiss him on the cheek. He said, Rebbe, I'm your Talmud. He said, now you've lost me. I said, well, what's going on here? You bring me in, you want to kill me, you're my Talmud. What's happening? Said the Talmud to the Shlomo, Rebbe, you should know. There's one chet on your neshama. The chet that you embarrassed me in yeshiva and I had to leave. And because of you, there's a slight blemish on, because actually you caused the fact that I left yeshiva. You caused embarrassment. Therefore, you would never have been able to spend your final years saying here to Sroba Menucha with that on yourself. I had to get you to a mountain, to complete shuvah. You're ready to give your neshama back. Betoich the cries of Shema Yisrael, your neshama is wiped clean. Enjoy the rest of your years in neshama. So here's the Maaseh Ben Yehuda. Says the Heilige Ben Yishai. Once we see that, he says, I can understand why Rashi was forced to say that Mazutra Chassid would never have done it for himself. If you can see the dangers that come out of doing, accusing a person for yourself, Mazutra Chassid could not have done it. Says the Maaseh Chis and the Yavetz, they don't bring the Ben Yehuda. Of course not. The Maaseh Chis and the Yavetz both say that that's why he did it for someone else. For yourself, not. Mazutra Chassida, the Loshon Chosid, would have done it not for himself, for someone else. So we're halfway there. We've so far seen that although it perhaps can be done, as Mazutra Chassida did try to sort of force a confession, but as we just saw from the Ben Yehuda and the Diyukim of the Achronim in Rashi, it's don't do it for yourself, for someone else, not for yourself. A heter to cheat back for yourself. Another Maaseh Shehaya, which occurred almost 600 years ago. It was a shaila that was asked to the Tashbats on the Gedolei Rishonim of 600 years ago. It's kedai to know, if we're going to mention Tashbats, he had an interesting minag. Whenever he saw a safe with a bent page, he straightened it. Any dust on sforim, he wiped off. He cleaned every safe meticulously. He was given a reward min HaShamayim, that no matter how old his sephorim would be, they would never age. Writes of Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer, my uncle the Chazon Ish told me, he writes, he saw a first-hand print of one of Tashbatz's sephorim. it looked as good as new. Edus Mechaznish of the last Doyle. He himself had personally seen a 600-year-old sefer in brand new condition. Edus Mechaznish. Tashpatz was Kedoyle Lishoyim. In the days of Tashpatz, the Maestro Shoyle, what happened? There was a blind man living in a certain city who had accumulated quite a fair bit of money, and he kept it on him. In the same city, there was a well-known crook. And one day, the people in the city didn't like what they saw. Yet a crook had become a very nicely befriended, a blind, wealthy man. The city didn't like it, but what are you going to do? He's looking after him. A few days later, there were suspicions became realized. The fellow, the rich man had disappeared, man who could see the crook had disappeared, and with it, the blind man's money. The blind man screaming and shouting. The other crook was found in a nearby city, and everybody was clear that this guy had stolen the money. But he said, no, there's nothing against him, you can't hold anything to him. They sent a letter to the Tashbats. What can we do? And the Tashbats wrote back, quoting our Gemara, you can hit him, he said. You can hit him. Force of confession. Kotsum oidile. Force of confession. Again, writes the Chois on this Gemara, if you're doing it for someone else, Eshayot. For yourself, Mazutu Chasida wouldn't have done it. The Tashbats wasn't doing it for himself. For someone else, Eshayot. But how do we go back now to the Maaseh of Yaakov Esav? Yaakov said to Rachel, Achi Avyom, Ochiv Baramos, I can cheat like he can cheat. Esav seemed to have felt cheated. He said it. It doesn't mean Yaakov did cheat because Esav said that. But he said, I think we have to understand as follows. Esav came in, starving hungry. As Yodua. Oyev. By the way, there's a very nice medrash, which I'm not going to go into now. The medrash says, what was Yaakov doing cooking? His father was such a wealthy man. There's no one at home to cook for him. No one there to cook. No one there. So the medrash came home, and the cleaners were sleeping. He didn't wake them up. Yaakov, the ghost of Ben Torah, wouldn't wake up any cleaner to cook for him. Cook for himself. It's because I maybe some shirah should know this. He said, cook for himself. Cleaners at home? No, wouldn't wake them up. What did Yaakov do? He sees Esav coming in. Now, a person comes in starving hungry, and is willing to part with almost anything for a bit of food, you know you've got the man where you want him. And Esau felt, hang on, Yaakov's asking for me from my prized possession, my bechayro, and my birthright, but I'm starving. I'm being forced to give it up. Esau would always have felt cheated. Hayetochen, Yaakov can say he bought the bechayro from me. It's not fair. It's not fair. I was forced into it. I'm starving hungry. He knows I'm starving. According to one pshat, I'm going to die. Not like Rashi. I feel I'm going to die. Don't talk about b'chayra. I'm going to die. V'lomos ani b'chayra. So he says, oh, I'll buy you b'chayra off you. He says, I'm going to die. I'm cheated. L'cha'oyin, if we understand pshat impossible, we started off with saying, what did Yaakov give him first? Lechem. He filled him up. To lechem, dohosta, take it, eat. Oh, now you still want the lizard that doshim later. You can't have no tannis anymore. No tannis anymore. I haven't cheated you. I gave you lechem, I filled you up. It was not part of the deal. I'm not going to cheat you. Have the lechem. Then have the lizard that doshim. And the mela, after that, you can't come to me with tannis. Oh, you cheated me. I didn't cheat you. I offered you lechem, I gave it to you, I fed you, I filled you up. Now we've got a deal on his adoption. Fair was fair. The Baal Tanura, in the beginning, on the sixth page of Brochus, talks about lechem v'yayin. Lechem v'yayin, wine and bread, are two selfish types of food which are brochus that aren't shared. Ho'adomo, mezoinus, shahakoin, are communal brochus. They're general brochus. Fermenting fruits from the ground, hardoma. But hagefen's only on wine. Hamotzi's only on bread. They're not shared on any other food item. The Batanur asked the Kashrut. In our parsha later we find Shtetling Hashoinim, when Yaakov entered the room of his father Yitzchok to serve him the Gedoya Izim, he Vayobei lo Yayin. Now under that Yayin is a Mercho Kafulo. Where's he got wine from? Father, where's the wine from? Where's wine from? His mother put in his hand Shtei Gedoya Izim. Vayobei lo Yayin Vayesht. So if you look in the Yonzim Ben Azir, he says the Malachim came down from Shemayim and gave him extra Yayin in order to make his father a little bit more drowsy, a little bit less aware, and to part with the brachos to Yaakov or Israel. Shteit in Chazal, that's one of the reasons why Yain has received a broch in it by itself. Because Yain helped Yaakov get the brachos. Now let's add on to that. Now we can also add on with our own raid, poshet, lechem, or lechem. But why was Yaakov able to get the brachos? Because he was the b'chor. What actually gave him the right to the b'chor? Then is that oshim? No. Esav could have tied it by Yaakveni. But there was the element of lechem involved. He gave him lechem. The lechem was the tosefes, the extra, which made the deal go through. Lechem un is that oshim. So lechem at the beginning of the parasha, almost 50 years later, the yayin together acted as the perfect ingredient which gave Yaakov the right to the brachas. Mamela, we can understand why Esav could claim by Yaakveni it wasn't true. Yaakov actually hadn't cheated him, but the lechem and yayin, we understand why they got brachas la'atzma. We'll finish off with another mulli of the kashayla I saw brought down again. It sounds marvel al Orion, but it's interesting to myself. This story took place in America. So he's in the car, taking a taxi from his office in Manhattan to Borough Park. And it's just before 11 at night, and the taxi driver and him come to an agreement, $25. The fellow gets in the car, and a few minutes later, it's 11 o'clock. The driver says, tariff 2 now, please. $50. The fellow thought, it's not fair. He knew the time when he picked me up. We agreed at $25. My high. So I'm not being cheated at $50. It's not fair. So he couldn't say anything. He was stuck. He gets back to his home. He said, taxi driver, here, I've got a $100 bill. Do you have 50 change? So I said, 1 second, I'll get you some change. And then, I passed him. I dropped the money in your car somewhere. He's hunting around between the seats, and if you can picture the big American states, there's plenty of holes that can afford it. I dropped it somewhere here. Do you mind, said the Jewish guy, the passenger, to the taxi driver, do you mind if I run upstairs and just get a torch and try and find the money? It's somewhere in one between your seats. So I said, sure, no problem. The fellow runs upstairs. The driver thinks to himself, am I mad? I'm sitting here. I've managed to go from $25 to $50. I'm sitting with $100 in my car, waiting for their torch. I'm not waiting. Off he goes. Off he goes. There never was $100 in the car at all. He'd never dropped it. The yid was banking on the driver thinking like this. He took it to Chesh, the guy's going to drive off. He said there's $100 in the car. There never was. The guy drove off. He wrote in the shayla, have I done right or not? Look, over here, I'm not passing, and I like to sit on the fence and say, for final consult to Rob, he got nothing. Had the fellow waited, he'd have come down torch, had to pay him. He said, what? He hadn't even cheated him. All he said was, there's $100 in your car. He didn't have to drive off. Yenna drove off. Yenna could have waited. Yenna also cheated him. So, again, I'm not passing, I don't know. I don't think over here it's quite as bad. Although on the other hand, he might tackle over the money for the right champagne in the first place. Wait, we'll leave it to the Olam.
Go be brave.
We'll leave it to the Olam. Now, boys, thanks for coming. Thanks for listening.